You're listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome. Join our regular team and maybe a few special guests as they give you the lowdown on movies, TV shows, games, or just whatever they want to talk about. It's the best of geek from week to week, live on Twitch and direct in your ears via the podcast.
This city was founded to be a bastion of enlightenment.
We are the city of progress, and our future is bright.
We were once one tribe. Now, we are houses divided.
As time passes, the topsiders are leaving us further and further behind. There's never enough to go round. It can either break you or forge you into something greater.
Hi. I need to speak with one of the inmates. Who are you? I have to try and find my sister. Powder? Vi?
There are people down there, hell-bent on destroying us.
The only way to defeat Topside is to stop at nothing.
We should prepare our own countermeasures.
Imagining yourself a hero. I'm afraid this will be a very short reunion.
You talk too much. Here we go.
You people down here are all the same.
Bit of advice. Don't threaten the guy who pours the drinks.
Hello, 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 and welcome. Welcome to the Periodic Table of Awesome. Hi.
Welcome. Gongzhi fa shai.
Okay, so help me out here because I'm never 100% sure how that's actually meant to be pronounced.
That's Mandarin. Okay. Gongzhi fa shai is Mandarin and Gonghei fa choi is Cantonese.
Okay,
but
right.
Happy New Year.
Yay.
New tiger.
As somebody called it before, and I quite like, Year of Le Tigre.
Ooh, El Tigre. Do we have any tigers in the chat?
As
it's
in,
a prosperous one.
So, okay, you know a bit about Chinese zodiac. What is the thing? A tiny bit? Oompa, tiny bit? What is the meaning of the tiger? What does that mean in sort
of God,
terms?
No. Now you're asking me, like, way too much than you're giving me credit for.
Okay.
I just know that, like, according to some people, if it's your year, it's not necessarily prosperous, or on the other hand, it can be. I don't know. I just know that I was Year of the Rat, and that was 2020, and look how that turned out.
Oh, God. Wow. You make a good
full
and solid point. Oh.
Oh, we have two tigers.
Oh,
we've
right.
got Tari and we got Elskenorge.
Cool. I'm not sure whether Elskenorge is.
Oh, like a tiger.
I'm That's like cool. a tiger. Roar.
It counts.
That was the late show, wasn't it? Anyway.
Amy's coming with our research to tell us that Google says tiger symbolizes power, courage, confidence, leadership, and strength.
Meanwhile,
thanks for Googling for us, Amy.
Wake up, sheeple.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. I know that I'm a horse, and I'm pretty sure I'm a metal horse, which I think is very cool.
Father is horse as well.
And he is also a tiger under the Chinese zodiac. Well done, Elskenorge.
You know what's funny, Quinny, is that horse and rat aren't supposed to get along very well.
Oh, so really?
I always clash with my dad, but we get on along really well.
I was going to say, we get on just fine. I mean, unless there's something you're not telling me. Like, is there some tension here that I don't understand, Jill? Like,
I secretly hate your guts.
Guess what? Not that secret. Kind of picked up on it already.
But I love the rest of you.
Oh,
just don't like your guts.
You know what? I don't particularly like them either. I'd like there to be significantly less of them. In fact, I should probably go to the gym to work on this as an outcome. Oh. Anyway.
Guys, are we having like a little bit of a family dispute here? And could that be some kind of segue to actual conflict?
Oh, Peter, bringing it back.
Holy shit, mate. Amazing.
Families are hard, guys.
Families are very, very hard, and I think this is one of those shows that says to you, not only are families hard, but they're also deadly, and they're perhaps a great thing to base a hugely successful video game on. Though I don't think it quite worked that way around. So,
look, I really want to know, like, how much of the cartoon is actually taken from story in the game, I guess.
You know what? I wish that I knew somebody who was a big LOL player. To anyone who doesn't know, the game that this animated series is based on is called League of Legends, which of course is known far and wide as LOL.
LOL.
And you know, some people love it, like love it more than the life itself, and a lot of people really fucking hate it.
I'm indifferent.
Okay.
I don't play it, and I don't care. If you want to play it,
Switzerland
cool.
on.
Yeah.
Shout out to Geektopia Oz, who are some lovely other podcasters who are saying hello. Welcome to the show, buddy. I've never played it. Never played the game, and to be honest, I actually had to go and look up a video of what the game even looked like.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm very familiar with the characters. Like, that's just kind of pop culture osmosis. I just don't play.
Mm. And as Adzki says, I all I know is that LOL has one of the most toxic fan bases out there, and that is the thing I've heard a lot about.
Oh, fun. I love good toxic to gamers.
Yeah, yeah. I know, awesome. Right?
I'm glad they made a series based on something that appeals to toxic gamers. Awesome. What's the series called?
The series is, of course, called Arcane.
I don't know. They had pirate skins on some of these characters.
Oh, right. So in the game, there have been various different skins for the characters.
Yes. As a cosplayer, this is something very costumable. So I'm familiar with a lot of the different skins.
Certainly, as somebody who's been to many a convention over the years, I have seen an awful lot of people with blue hair.
Yes.
And the character of Jinx has shown up multiple times, cosplayed by multiple popular. People. Because, you know, it is super cosplay friendly. It's got a big prop. It's got cool hair. It's got, you know, really wild kind of design and cool makeup and everything. So I can totally understand why people are like, that. I want to cosplay that. Now, whether that actually translates to a lot of love for the character, I don't know. I really don't know at all. But should I tell you what Arcane is about?
Please.
Okay. I can't do the magic that Dion does where he has music underneath because we're using a different thing, but that's okay. So
we'll use our imaginations.
Absolutely. And when we come to doing the podcast, like the audio podcast, I probably won't put any audio in there either just because.
Who could be fucked?
That's how much we love you guys.
We appreciate all of the support that you give us through Ko-Fi and through subscription here, but whatever, we don't give a fuck about you anyway. Wow. Okay, so Arcane says, amidst the escalating unrest between the rich utopian city of Piltover and the seedy, oppressed undercity of Zorn, sisters Vi and Jinx find themselves on opposing sides of a brewing war over clashing convictions and arcane technologies. That's a very brief premise that really doesn't do much for most of the characters, let's be honest here.
Oh dear.
Picked
out the name from? Did they write that, like, is their little, you know, what do you call it? like a brainstorm session. They had that in the middle. And then they're like, okay, what keywords can we get from this? Ooh, arcane. I like it. That's my favorite.
Yes. I think they were like, okay, what are the key characters that we really call attention to? Vi and Jinx. Oh, okay. And that's it. Okay, good. Move on. So this was suggested by Casper, and also I think I may have, I can't remember whether it was me that suggested it or not.
There were a few people. Yeah.
Right.
There's quite a buzz around it.
Yeah. And I guess the main reason that I watched it is because, the reason I wasn't here last week is because I had a 21st birthday to go to, not mine. my partner's son is 21 and he was the one who put me onto this. He suggested that I should check it out because he's a big gamer and into a lot of anime and everything like that. And he was like, seriously, you've actually got to check this out. Like, and I was like, yeah, it looks pretty. I'll get around to it. And he's like, no, check it out.
Do it.
And so he made us all sit down and watched it, and it was very, very impressive. And yes, I am only 16, sweet 16. So yes, what is your first take on this? Because I know, Pete, you are not a big fan of the animated medium.
Yes, it was very animated, wasn't it?
She's not an aficionado.
I really have, and I've spoken about this before, for some reason I have trouble connecting with characters in animated, and particularly like animated dramas, which is such a shame because there are quite a few beautiful pieces that are in genres that I really like, but I just don't get into it. I just don't know why. This was very beautiful. Mm. It was beautifully animated. It was, you know, music great, looked stunning, story cohesive. Yeah, I didn't really like it, but this is, I think, another one of those cases of it was very good and I didn't really like it.
Okay.
Through not necessarily that many faults of its own, although it's not like I can't come up with any things that shit me off a little bit about it. It was beautiful. I mean, like in an art sense, it's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's, for me, the first bite was with the eye. So the first trailer came out and I was like, that's pretty fucking impressive. Like, it has this very painterly kind of feel to it. And, you know, the way it works with light and everything is kind of spectacular. So for me, that was the first thing that kind of dragged me in and said, oh, you want to watch this because it looks so pretty. But I'm getting the feeling that the looking pretty just ain't enough for you guys.
Yeah, look, I thought it was very beautiful and very, you know, out of the box with, you know, animation. I'm a weeb from way back. I cut my teeth on anime getting into all of this jazz. So I really feel like 15 years ago this would have been my jam, but I just didn't dig it. And I don't know why. I mean, the story was good. The acting is great. It all looks really cool. I just wasn't finding it interesting enough to keep watching. I got up to episode... How many episodes were there? Nine. So I finished watching episode 7, which had like a random rap music video in the middle of it, which was cool, but kind of felt like their jump the shark moment. I'm like, okay, I don't know why this is in the middle of the thing, but it's cool. It looks cool. The music's great. But I don't know. The characters, I feel like the ones that were making like a lot of bold choices in their motives were a little bit naive in the way that they were pursuing stuff. And I think we'll go into that a little bit deeper later on. But I don't know. I guess a lot of the characters just felt face value.
Okay. Okay, sorry. Pete, speaking of face value, your face value was suddenly just like, what?
Oh, no. Rob in the chat is saying no Underground Fight Club, and I'm just going to respond like half of this entire world is an Underground Fight Club.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that I had trouble understanding off the bat is the geography of this place.
Yeah, that doesn't help.
I don't understand if we're like underground or not underground or sometimes underground, but did anyone also trouble with that? No, or is that just me?
Yes, it is like depth perception wise, very confusing because you're like, how is there so much scope to an underground world? Why is there so much like upper atmosphere in an underground world? Why aren't they all living in tunnels? Why is there so much light and outside-y stuff underground? Mm. So if someone could explain that, it'd be cool.
Yeah. I think I was watching it and I was kind of like, okay, well, I'll go along with whatever you're telling me. Okay, it's underground. These are the darker bits. And then there's the Piltover Piltover, I think it is, which is obviously the, you know, rich area. But yeah, I will admit the logistics of how it all works, I'm fucked.
If Piltover was a city that was like semi in the sky and the underground was actually the ground, that would make sense.
Yeah, I don't know, are there many shots of Zorn where it is, where you see up? There's
some
a lot of room.
That have sky looking stuff in the background, and that made me confused. Like, are we like, is it called the underground, but it's actually just like south of the city?
Yeah.
It's just like a is dingy, it, like smoky bit that's near.
Yeah.
I didn't understand. And maybe that's something that you have to understand the game to really understand the geography of the world, or maybe that's just something that they created.
Even know that this animation comes from anything in the game. I think an animated series using some characters from the game?
Well, certainly all of the characters that are in it are characters from the game. And I believe that there are some elements of the setting, but I get the feeling that it's very, very creative license.
Tell me a little bit more about the game and the type of game that it is so that I can understand kind of the context that these characters have come out of to the perspective of like a, you know, that I don't really any game, particularly multiplayer games, is just not my bag at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it MMORPG game?
Yeah, essentially. I mean, I'll bring up just a little bit of what the game actually looks like, so you can have a look and sort of get a rough idea as to, you know, what League of Legends the game actually is. So it's a bunch of people who are running around fighting each other, and at the moment they're standing around not doing a hell of a lot. but yeah, it's a sort of top down view where people are shooting and hitting each other. So
yeah,
I think there is an awful lot of creative license that can come from, you know, how do you get these characters? What do these characters look like? Okay, why do they look like that? You know, and how do we incorporate something that is a location that is magical and has magical monsters and stuff in it, but also is technological. Yeah. To be honest, I haven't played the game. I find the whole thing deeply weird.
It's like, as he's saying, it's like a tower defense game on steroids. And that's what it seems, because it's been obviously advertised to me quite a few times. And when it was advertised to me, it felt like it was kind of more of a strategy tower defense type game that was being
Well, the one explanation I've had for it is this map down in the bottom right-hand corner. So I'm going to stop it making noise because it's annoying. So that you've got two kind of bases on either end.
It's like a capture the flag style thing.
Yeah, and then you've got three paths to get from base to base, one through the middle and one on either side. And you choose your heroes and then you go attack. And there's obviously a lot of
You have multiple people playing with you, so, you know, you have your healers and fighters and all that kind of jazz.
Mm.
So there's a lot of world building then that's come into this series.
Yes.
I think so.
I certainly get the feeling that, and I mean, to be honest, I think there was hints of it. Like in a lot of the games, you see that there are hints of background to the characters. So it was sort of long rumored that the characters of Vi and Jinx were sisters. And so that was one of those things that was kind of hinted at through the games and then was officially revealed at some point. And now they've gone, okay, let's look at this and pull apart the story and find out how they got to be these people. So I guess this is a you know, prequel-y kind of thing.
Hmm.
And the thing is, I've never played the game. I have no interest in the game. Yeah. I don't want to play the game.
No.
But
I guess it's a chance for them to expand their lore and possibly get new people in.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's probably what they were hoping for. That this is an animated series that will draw new players to the game. And, I mean, one of the things being that the company that makes it, Riot Games, have an animation studio. And, like, they've been doing these high-quality animated cutscenes for their games for however many years. And now it's like, okay, well, we've been doing this. Somebody says, why don't you make a cartoon? I mean, you guys are really good at this shit. Maybe you should make a cartoon. They're like, okay, maybe we will.
Mm.
Well, I feel like they're going to bring in audience, if not to the game. I feel like they're going to create a fandom around these characters through this series because I think while it wasn't my bag, it's not bad, and I think that there's a lot here in terms of world building and character development that is probably sustainable over multiple series that will bring a lot of people in, maybe not exactly like me who don't love animation, but certainly people who might not be interested in playing the game. I could see being very interested in watching a story like this with characters like this, although I have some character issues, but
okay,
pretty spoilery. So I think we should talk about them later.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. From that, I mean, yes, we will come back to the issues with the characters later. But did you enjoy the central relationship between Vi and Jinx and the people around them, or did that not resonate with you guys?
I don't know which came first, the Harley Quinn or the Jinx. Like,
it's got to be the Harley Quinn. Harley Quinn has been around for decades, right?
Harley was the 90s. She was created in the Batman the Animated Series in 1990, if memory serves, or 89.
God, that is decades. Fuck.
Not 89. It was in the 90s, yeah.
I thought that was long ago. Hang on.
Yeah. The 80s was 40 years ago.
Shut your mouth, Jill. We don't talk like that here. Not with all of our Peter Pan syndrome stacked on top of each other.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea what you're talking about, toy from my childhood. More toys from my childhood.
But honestly, I could not get on board with Jinx because I was just like, oh, for Christ's sake, like, I've seen this before and it's done to death. Vi, on the other hand, was, like, slightly more interesting. I think the police person sidekick that she was... thanks. See how much attention I paid to this show. Yeah. Was, like, their kind of dynamic was kind of cool.
It was kind of cool, but I don't know how they kind of got that close that quickly.
Yeah.
Like they kind of went from like, we've just met, I don't trust you, to I will die for you. Like,
yeah.
Was that like sexual tension that I was reading?
Yes.
Oh, I was feeling it.
Yes.
I was feeling it.
I mean, yeah.
I liked it. I just didn't get how they got there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you have class act bisexual icon friggin' Hailee Steinfeld as your voice actress for Vi. I found like all the council characters a bit boring.
Yeah. And it's interesting because it is two very, very distinct narratives. Like there is this whole kind of political narrative with the, you know, the arcane tech and all of that, and then there is the narrative with Vi and Jinx and the Undercity and everything. And I know that they're meant to intersect with each other and kind of provide tension to one another, but I don't know, a lot of the time I felt like it was they weren't necessarily gelling as a cohesive narrative.
I agree. It kind of only ever like crossed paths when they were stealing stuff from the lab, and then when that technology came into play later on down the track, there wasn't really any cohesion between the two.
Mm.
Mm.
And even when the little giant moustache boy gets...
Oh, yeah, that's another thing that was weird, just like weird animal people.
Like, that was one of the moments where I started watching it and I'm like, wow, this is like, because it starts off with a pretty spectacular opening sequence of, you know, war and like some real emotional big hits. And you're like, oh shit, okay, right, this one's not playing. And then a couple of scenes later, there's a cute furry thing with a giant moustache and funny hair. And you're like, where are we?
And the little animal man has a pet that is also a little animal. And I'm like, okay, this is that like that weird bit in DuckTales where the ducks were feeding the ducks, and I'm like, what is happening? The duck people were feeding animal ducks, and I'm like, what am I watching?
What is wrong with the ducks in the pond? What is right with the ducks standing up? Wow, I've never seen that, and now I'm glad that I've never seen that because... That's fucked up. I mean, I guess it always asks the same question. If Pluto is a dog and Goofy is a dog.
Where did the evolutionary fuck? Chain like separate?
Why can one of them talk? Anyway.
I mean, I think when you have a talking dog to begin with, these questions kind of become irrelevant.
Yes. Look, I feel like we're you know, being flippant because it is that thing that, you know, cute talking animals suddenly do change your tone pretty spectacularly. And there's a part of me that goes, if they hadn't had that character in there, maybe, like, the whole thing would have felt a little bit more grounded, perhaps?
Yeah, or if they'd leaned harder into, like, bestial people. Because there were other later episodes with very orky-looking people.
Mm.
And I'm like, why not just go like full fantasy and like put more of that shit in?
Yeah. See, I mean, from my perspective as a fan of certain role-playing games and stuff like that, D&D and everything, I was looking at this going, fuck, if this was a D&D animated series, I'd be fucking all over it. If this was the way that they'd chosen to do an animated series of Discworld, I'd have lost my fucking shit over it. To be honest, the one that keeps coming back to me, is which is a touch point that none of you guys are going to know, is a book series called Shadowrun, which is D&D, like, so it's orcs and elves and magic and stuff like that, but set in a cyberpunk setting. So you get orcs who have cybernetic arms and elves who are hackers who you know, go into the Matrix and do cool shit. And
yeah. Well, this is one step down, is just steampunk.
Yeah, exactly. And I kind of looked at this and I thought, oh my God, if you use this technology and this style to do a Shadowrun series, this would blow my fucking socks clean off. As it is, my socks remain on. But And I'm so glad Chastangela knows Shadowrun. Yeah, she knows where it's at.
She knows all the books.
Yeah. It's such a cool setting for a game. It's just a shit game to play. Like it's one of those things where they went, yeah, we've got this really cool setting. How do we do all the dice rolling and everything? So I went, just roll as many D6s as you can. Really?
Oh, God.
Yeah, like a shit Shadowrun roll could mean that you are rolling 36 or 40 D6s.
Wow.
It was a terrible system. Cool. Anyway, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about Arcane. So the characters of Vi and Jinx we keep coming back to, but were there any others that you kind of latched onto as being interesting characters?
The scientist with the foreign accent.
Victor.
Thank you. I kind of wish that they had just concentrated on one side of this story. If it had been about the scientists and the political aspect, cool, interesting. I want to see that tension and the confrontation and all that kind of stuff. Do another series where it's just about the relationship between Vi and Jinx and their friends and the seedy gang people. Do that one. That'd be cool. But the two of them running like together was, I think that's just where it lost me. Because I am super interested in like what this Hextech stuff does and, you know, why is it so dangerous and all of that kind of really cool, interesting stuff, but
yeah I agree. I think like I guess maybe I enjoyed it more because I was kind of like I was like, okay, cool, I'm just gonna go with it, and I kept on waiting for the next thing that was going to make me go, ooh, pretty, which perhaps is not the best reason to keep watching the show. But that was kind of my thing. I was like, the whatever the next sequence was that was going to really kind of knock my ass off and go, oh yeah, sweet, that looks really cool. And I was impressed with the amount of emotion that because when I said to you, Pete, I'm interested to see whether this one worked for you. The main reason was because I know that whilst it's animation, I thought this did a better job at conveying emotion and allowing the performers to act than a lot of other animation that I've seen. So I was kind of interested to see whether that actually had a kind of a thing that worked for you or not.
Yeah, I was interested too. Apparently not.
Not interested. I mean, not.
Look, a little bit, but it wasn't. There's still something unreal, overly kind of mechanical. Maybe it's animated eyes. Like there's just, it's just, it. I can't do it. I don't know why. I did get, it's not that I experienced no emotion in the story. Part of the problem for me was that it was fucking depressing. Just as a whole, you know, overarching and the, you know, very kind of obvious themes of socioeconomic disparity and what happens when you take that to the extreme, and it's not like that isn't actually happening in real life, and right, over policing and all of that kind of thing. It's a depressing like set of themes, and then we bring in some mental health stuff, which, you know, has a questionable place in this kind of entertainment. And overall, like, it's not that I had no emotions from it, but the emotion that I got from it was like, I'm just depressed now. Like I'm heavy and sad. And this wasn't a good time for that.
It was Les Miserables and Eponine is Jinx.
I mean, don't even, because, you know, I love Les Miserables. And you mean Tom Hooper's Les Miserables or just Les Miserables in general?
Just in general.
Now imagine Les Miserables, but done by the music of Imagine Dragons.
Yeah. Look, I thought the music was terrific. But I did like, you know, we've talked a lot about the relationship between Vi and Jinx, and without kind of getting too spoilery into it, the main driver of the conflict between them was actually something that tends to seriously irritate me. And it has irritated me in many, you know, kinds of drama like this. And it's that, you know, it's always like, oh, well, this could be resolved if, like, there was one line said and, like, adequate communication, but we're just not going to have them, like, say the really obvious thing in the moment that could, you know, resolve this relationship, and then, like, the unstable, dangerous character becomes more dangerous. Like, it's very Umbrella Academy. Like, I spoke about the exact same thing in that, you know, there are lots of moments where you could be like, oh, this whole thing could be, just be easily resolved. And it's just not, and it's a plot device that really bugs me, particularly when it's a plot device that's kind of then mixed in with mental illness and, like, your main villain characters being, like, somehow crazy and unstable. And I want to talk more about that in spoilers, I think.
Okay. Right. Well, we'll come back before more of Peter's But Why a little bit later on. Were there anything, like, obviously there's a lot that didn't quite work for you. Were there parts that did work for you? Like, even if it was the weird rap.
I kind of dug that.
Yeah, the music video was really cool. I was just like, why is it happening? Oh, well. just go with it.
I think because Imagine Dragons told them.
It wasn't even at the end of an episode. It was in the middle of an episode because I was kind of like, oh, the episode is, like, ending. But no, it was just...
Yeah, it was a big flex. Yeah. And it was kind of like, okay,
and
cool.
And also, like, the other episode where there's, like, the band in the pub, and it's just like, oh, let's just get some more Imagine Dragons in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, like, I'll just put some of this on in the background.
Financial contribution to this show?
I think maybe they did. Because there was definitely some shit going on there that I was like, I'm pretty sure that, like, Imagine Dragons doesn't have to have, you know, like, an entire music video that's done by the animation company, and nor do they have to, you know, show up and be in the series and, like, have their own beautiful models made by the animation company.
Yeah.
I would say that I probably have heard that theme song enough times now.
Yeah. Okay. That's fine. I won't.
Look, I mean, it's a pretty cool flex. Like, you know, if you're going to lend your music to an animation series, I'd be like, I want to be animated in the music video. Like, do it.
Yeah. And, I mean, I think this does what, to me, was the most successful stuff about the show, which was, like, it's a tech demo. It's a fucking amazing tech demo. Yeah. And it's kind of going, look at this shit. Look at our lighting. Yeah. Look at our particular
style. Look at what we can do. Yeah.
Yeah. And yes, I'm sorry, I won't do any more of the song. I know that you're sick of it.
It's like, hey, we can do, and you guys, it's great. It's like, let's just tidy up the story, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. Predakanga is asking style over substance. Yeah.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, a bit. Look, I don't think the substance was terrible. Like, I do think, like, story-wise, it was well constructed. Like, you know, character development-wise, all of the key characters had arcs. You know, it just didn't quite gel for me, but I can see it really gelling for people. I don't think it's a write-off of the series. I actually think it's a pretty good series that is beautiful and kind of depressing and will kind of do it for a lot of people. It just didn't quite do it for me. Like, that it was a little bit like some of the characters were a bit tropey. Some of the arcs, while they existed and were nicely formed, were done so because they have been done before, and they're just a bit, you know, perhaps, you know, overdone in some contexts. But the way it was put together, I thought was nice. Like, it was well done. I can't point to it and say, well, this made no sense, or, you know,
I mean,
this ending was shit.
It has value. It certainly has value. It's trash by any standard.
But it just didn't necessarily work for y'all. And
I mean, let's give it a score. We'll tell you exactly where it.
Okay. I like this. We will score it, and then we'll come back and talk spoilery business. So, Pete, tell me a numerical value for your indifference.
It's so hard for me because I know I don't like animation to begin with. So
I'm sorry,
it's
like I've made this very difficult for you.
I've got to try to mitigate that against kind of like, I really wasn't enjoying it, and I would never have watched it if we weren't going to talk about it. And I was a little bit annoyed at every new episode I started to watch because I was like, ugh, do I have to keep watching this? Yes.
Did you finish all nine?
But it's not because
then?
It wasn't good. It's because I don't like the format, and we all knew going into it that I probably wouldn't like it. So I'm not like – I rate based on how much I enjoyed something, except in some instances where I say I can recognize a lot of things about it that were very good, but I really didn't enjoy it. And I think this is kind of one of those moments where I can't go like real high because – I do see a lot of issues with it, but I don't want to rate based on how I felt while I was watching it because it would be unfair to the series. Yeah. So I'm just going to be like really like neutrally fence city in the half way between I don't care about it at all and I loved it. I'm just going to give it like a 70.
Okay. That is – I like that that – You know, technically, absolute indifference is 50.
Absolute indifference is 50. Anything under 50, like, I'm getting angry at it, you know? Like, I don't care at all is 50. And probably that's how I felt about this while I was watching it. But I'm adding points because I don't want to be unfair to it because I hate animation as a format.
Yeah. Well, look, let me just say, as someone that does like animation, I'm also giving it a 70. Because I feel like it is a nice, good, objective score. Like Pete said, there are so many things that are good about it. And, you know, stylistically and all that kind of jazz, like that's where it's getting the points. For me, I didn't connect to the story, so that's just, you know, where it's losing a bit of points for me. But, yeah, I'm giving it a solid 70. Like there are people out there that are just going to fall in love with this thing and it's going to be like their whole jam. And that's cool. It's not crap by any means.
Yeah. I'm probably going to go higher on the other side because I thought it was stunning and I thought it was like a technically spectacular piece of like TV and filmmaking and you know, and I enjoyed the fact that for something that is based on a game that, as we've seen, you know, is top-down, hit, boot, shooty, bang-bang kind of stuff with fuck all in the way of story that I could, you know, deride from it. It was – it had a lot of heart, and I really enjoyed it, and I liked the sort of core story, but I do recognize that some of the other storylines didn't work as well. And there are a lot of times I was like, why are you doing that? Are you doing that because the character looks like that in the game? You know, is it like why there are a few times that I was like, is this just so that you can create a character that looks like the way that they play in the game? Or is it because you actually, you know, like this is tied to character development or something? And I felt like there was a lot of times that style over substance was where we were at. So for me, it's an 88. I really dug it, but
nice.
I didn't think that like if you got me straight afterwards, I've been like, yeah, fucking 90, it was amazing. But but the more I think about it, the more I go, yeah, storyline wise, there are some weird flexes in there. Right. So shall we have a clip and then come back and talk spoilery business? And I think this is a good chance for you to really kind of get stuck into the what didn't work or where you
We're going to tear it a new one after this.
Yeah, well, yes. With your,
after giving it a relatively high rating.
I know. I was going to say, after a fair and even-handed rating, maybe you can come back and just be fucking vicious on it. Yeah. Okay, here we go.
Oh, look who it is. The boy savior.
Stuff in this, and as you were saying, Pete, this is a sequence that you really enjoyed.
Really enjoyed that sequence. Like, it was really nicely conceived and put together, and like great character play. What are we watching?
Sorry, clicking the wrong button. What are we watching? Quinny making a fuck up of it.
Yeah, that was probably one of my favorite sequences in the entire series.
Yeah, very cool.
That one. Really cool. Well,
I think it's cool because, you know, the change of animation style and everything, and but also that, to me, that one had the emotional language that went with it of child versus child version of character versus adult version of character. And I was like, I really enjoyed the moments where they actually played with things like that. But they didn't do that all that often. So tell me about the mental health aspects of Jinx, because I feel like this is a thing that is needs pulling apart.
I mean, the thing is, I feel like the right person to discuss this properly would be somebody who has experience with something like dissociative identity disorder, because I read up on it a little bit as I was watching it, because it was... It was bugging, for a start, like obvious Harley Quinn vibes. And it was, you know, bugging me that A, this is kind of like a character that I feel like I've seen before, but B, I mean, really, we're going to like make the main like villain character a woman who is unstable, who, you know, clearly has a dissociative identity disorder or something like it. in addition to horrendous traumas that she's lived through in her childhood, and also grooming from a sociopathic man.
Yeah.
And she's going to be the big bad here. Mm. Like, that element annoyed me a fair bit. I think it's problematic. I haven't found a lot written on it online by people with experience with these kinds of either disorders or personality disorders. But the things that I did find, a couple of things that I did find were a little bit positive on it, saying that often these crazy women characters are played, you know, very much Harley Quinnish for a laugh. And at least with Jinx, you see a lot of the tragedy, a lot of the pain that she's experiencing in those moments. So perhaps it's being portrayed in a more sympathetic light. But like, I feel like it's a really fine line to walk. And I'm not the right person to say if they walked it well.
Yeah.
And it's just something that I'm wary of. And, you know, as much as the character was nicely drawn and nicely performed, and it was very entertaining, the question is, should we be finding entertainment in that kind of context and that kind of characterization? It made me a bit uneasy.
Like, I don't think it fell into the bitches be crazy territory that, you know, we're all a little bit sick of. But I can definitely, I'm on board with the it walks a line kind of thing.
Yeah. And for me, with no experience of that, it walked a line on the side of, I'm just sick of women being portrayed as crazy, femme fatale, you know, dangerous, unstable beings.
Yeah, because it starts to dip into that weird bit of like, oh, you know, if they don't have, you know, control of their mental faculties, and then you start to turn that character into a bit of like a sex pot thing, it's like, where does their agency end and their, you know, what do you call it? Like, I've just lost the word, but like, where you prey on that sort of person.
That they become victim or...
Yes, exactly, where you start victimizing that character. Yeah.
That specifically happened with Jinx, but you could kind of see them edging.
There were a few moments where it was edging into promiscuous, and I'm like, this is not cool, because she's still quite young, and then you're putting the whole she's mentally unstable label on her, and it's like, okay, so is this turning into predatory or what? Like,
plus the character design, which I can only assume has come from the game
design, but also
extraordinarily slim, you know, not necessarily wearing well, which, you know, is fine in many and all contexts, but in the terms of who were these characters being drawn for originally makes me feel ick. The fact that this character is now being portrayed as such a young character then makes me feel ick. The fact that actually every character, female character, except for, you know, two, you know, big, strong, beefy women that had very particular functions, was portrayed as extremely cartoonishly slender, bugged me.
Understandable. It just all bugs me. Yeah. And it's interesting because, like, even from the designs in the game, they have done a lot of work to try and make Jinx a little more human. Like, her the game design is ridiculous. You know, she is, like all games from 20-odd years ago or 2009, so 11, 12 years ago, whatever, numbers. You know, she was drawn sexy. She was drawn, you know, in a particular way. And I think they've tried to at least make this a character that feels like this is a person, but it is still incredibly slim and sexualized. And the way that they choose to animate her, like, there are a few times where, you know, she's sitting around mucking around with technology, and I'm like, okay, that's, you know, they've gone there to say, okay, this is somebody who doesn't care about how they are sitting. They're not trying to sit in a way that is sexy or whatever. But then there are other sequences you're like, well, why that angle? Why did we have to see some side boob and a bit of butt and, you know, all that kind of stuff? And you're like, unnecessary.
Yeah.
Yeah, but also, as Rob said a couple of times, that the relationship between her and Serco, which is this weird parental but not vaguely sexual, don't know.
Yeah.
He's definitely...
It's hella creepy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. And then the thing that was bugging me that you see kind of all the time is you have this kind of character that we've set up to be, you know, unstable, has all of this trauma in the past, and all she really wants is that safety, that feeling of safety that she gets from her sister. And it would be really easy to happily resolve the story by having Vi give her that feeling of safety, and then just like so deliberately manufacturing plot lines to kind of stop them doing that. And I'm like, okay, so I guess the movie has to happen, but it happens all the time. It happens all the time, particularly with female characters who are being set up to be the villain or are becoming the villain because they've become unstable. So like the Willows or the Vanyas or, you know, those types of characters. So that all of that kind of bugged me and was probably one of the major barriers to me properly enjoying the series. Mm. And now that we're talking about the sexualization, it's making me want to downrate it from what I've
been no!
You're allowed. The numbers are still there.
Because it is like it's I know that it's all kind of drawn from a game, and a game that we've now heard has a fairly toxic game culture around it, and there are obviously a lot of problems with the characterization of women in games, but there was an opportunity here to do something different, much of the way that they did a Masters of the Universe. But
I mean, if you look at Vi's character design, she's not nearly as half-dressed as Jinx.
No.
And is presented in a much more, I don't know, like
much
normal.
Less frail, much less dainty and bird-like, and like she could snap because she's just so frail. And you know, she could mentally or physically snap at any moment.
Yeah.
Also, that hair, like, is extremely impractical for those kinds of fights that she's getting in.
Video game hair, Peter.
That was, like, my first when she comes out as an adult, like, you know, and she's, like, taking everyone down. I'm like, no. Like, that, you don't go into a fight with that hair.
No, because people can grab hold of that hair.
So easily.
Yeah. I mean, there's always going to be an amount of like, yeah, but it's a game, so just shut up. And then you're like, yeah, but logic, you know, let's. I'm just going to have a look at this just in the background while we're talking.
Okay.
I like that some of the designs, were more, as you say, grounded, more realistic, more, I don't know. And a real monster showed up. Chunky? I don't know what you call it. not whip thin. And Vi is definitely an interesting one, but I mean, for me, so much of it was about world building. And I was totally on board for what we were seeing. And I was like, yes, cool, amazing. Show me more.
And like, again, beautiful. I mean, the light and you know, shadow and in this animation is great. And I'm possibly being oversensitive. Like I said, I don't have personal experience with anything like dissociative identity disorder. So it could be that I'm speaking out of turn and being oversensitive about it. It just feels like this massive trope that I wish would die.
Yeah. Well, are you looking forward to Moon Knight then?
I don't know what that is. Should I be looking
forward to it? It's where our main character has dissociative identity disorder.
Yeah.
I mean, look, there's got to be a line also between like representation and yeah. My issue is every time you see it, it's the crazy villain character. I would love all of these kinds of things to be, you know, represented in like a considered and well-rounded way that actually considers the experience of the people who live through this every day. Yeah. And if those people can then be turned into heroes, then that's even better. I just am not enjoying the trope of those people always being portrayed as
villains. Like they don't need to be demonized all the time.
No.
Let's see someone working through their issues and, you know,
even just, you know, understanding what it must be like. And then this is where I'm kind of like, maybe I'm speaking out of turn, because maybe this has gone a little way in stepping away from that trope where we're certainly not laughing at Jinx anymore. No. And apparently in the game we are, is what I've read. Like the character in the game is very similar, but it's much played in a much more kind of Harley Quinn kind of let's laugh at the amount of destruction and that this unstable character brings to the show. So maybe they have brought it a step out of that and done it more respectfully than they could have. And I'm going to keep kind of looking into it when the show's been around for longer to see if anyone does write about it, because I'd be really interested to hear another perspective on it. Mm.
I'm just going to say, I mean, not that we're going to watch it now, but here is a video that is a psychotherapist talking about Jinx. There's a 12-minute long video that you can find where... This,
she's got the hairstyle too.
Yeah, I was kind of like, okay,
cool. So, he does work in real life, Peter.
She's not in a fight.
No, she's in a fight for your sanity, but no. Sorry. Anyway,
so no, yeah. I won't downrate it further until I've heard more perspectives on that character and how it was handled.
Yeah, okay, understandable. So that was your biggest sort of qualm about the whole thing, the representation of the mental illness and the Jinx. See, I find it interesting because throughout the whole thing, I never felt until right near the end that Jinx was 100% a villain. Like, I knew that she was sort of being pushed to be more and more the bad guy, but I kept on thinking this is going to be a redemption arc, or this is going to be a story about how she isn't completely losing herself to the worst aspects of her character. I didn't think of her as being the bad guy, because there were so many other people
like
who were
the bad
guy. She's
a villain, but there's, I mean, only in the sense of that there's conflict and she's half of it. So,
yeah.
But no, I wouldn't call her
she's a
villain.
Maybe one of the key antagonists, I would
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why.
Although you would say by the very end that she's kind of a villain.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like by the end, she has made those decisions. But I did kind of have a feeling all the way through of like, maybe not. Maybe, you know, I kept on hoping that this was going to be a story of how those two, like Vi and her, managed to fix things.
But that's that tropey tease that they were doing the entire way through.
Yeah, I know. And
they just baited you, Quinny, and you fell for it.
Yeah, just because I'm just a big softy who wants good things to happen to people that I like. I'm like trying to hit the button to get rid of that thing, and it's like, no, go to the big screen, do whatever you want. Yeah, look, I understand it. Are there any other things that are particularly spoilery that you think... I mean, the odds are we're getting a sequel, or we're getting another season. It has been extraordinarily successful for Netflix and the company. So do you feel like there is stuff that you would like to see explored? Or do we just not care enough?
Look, I'm not going to finish the last two episodes and I'm not going to watch a second season unless we review it. So they could do whatever they want.
I'm with Jill.
I feel bad that I can't add anything to this conversation, but honestly, just go for it, guys. It's cool.
I'm not going to seek it out, but I'm not surprised that it's done well. And I'm sure they'll make another beautiful series.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see this animation studio do something different.
That's something I would very much love to see. I would love to see them have a go at something that, you know, and maybe get a property that isn't tied to a game that has a lot of expectation and a lot of weird stuff that may or may not necessarily translate well into storytelling.
Look, this story wasn't for me. Maybe the next one will be.
Fair. Absolutely fair. I think it's interesting that the chat, you know, people are saying, you know, they don't necessarily want a second season, but and as Atsuki says, oh, look, a show that Netflix hasn't cancelled after the first season. Amazing.
No, it's normally three seasons and then a cancel.
Yeah, just when it's getting really good?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. Okay, well, I think I feel like we have tapped out on Arcane in terms of everything. I mean, I also have the problem that it's now been a month and a bit since I've watched it all. I enjoyed it a lot. I enjoyed it a great deal. But if you were like, hey, tell me your favorite bit, and I'd be like... there was a really cool bit where they were fighting and there were some big glowy things and that was real cool, but I don't remember much more than that. So just Angela is asking, are we going to be covering season two of Masters of the Universe?
Part two of season one.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I don't know if it's technically season two, it's the second half of the first season. I don't know that we will talk about that. I mean, we may do it on a Friday night, more casual type show, but there's a distinct possibility we may talk about it in Animates at some point.
Oh, true. Yes.
Keep an eye out. I believe we decided February 25th, which is the last Friday in February, that we will be returning for Animates. So, yay! Animated fun, which is why Peter's not coming.
You guys have so much fun though.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. We do. It's a lot of fun.
You're a mate, but you're not our animate.
Yeah. Sorry, Pete.
I'm your live action mate.
Yes.
Predaking has asked, has anyone watched Don't Look Up? Yes, I have. You want to talk about fucking depressing? Holy shit.
Yeah.
Worth watching though. It's a good movie.
It is. It is.
But don't watch it if you want to feel good.
Tari apparently really enjoyed last week's episode. So
of
you.
Oh, of us.
Yes.
Oh, that's great. I'm so glad.
I haven't had a chance to watch it yet, but I have had some very nice feedback from people at work. Oh, I've got people at work who listen to the podcast now.
That's cool.
Yeah. Hi, Maria. Hi, Mel. And they were like, that was a really good episode. And I'm like, oh, I wasn't in it, so I don't care.
We literally reviewed nothing and we just talked about stuff we'd watched.
Sounds amazing.
There was no ratings. Just like, what did you see? Oh, I saw this. Yes, Chast Angela watched 355. Everybody go and watch 355. So good.
And we do enjoy a good ramble. That is absolutely correct. So, I mean, that is what we do, and we do remarkably well. Right.
If we do say so ourselves.
Yes. Anything but a ramble next week, we are talking about Peacemaker.
Oh, shit. I'd forgotten about that.
I felt very questionable about, but I'm not going to reveal which way I'm swinging at the moment.
I was wondering because, yeah, your first initial reaction to it was like, fuck this show.
Look, fuck that guy in the movie. The trailer, I was like, oh, fuck, it looks funny. And then, mm-hmm. But, yeah, anyway, talk about it next week.
Yeah, we've got a lot to cover next week. the show won't quite be finished.
But, I mean, a good chunk of it we'll have seen, so... Yeah.
There's a lot of talk about
Encanto. Rob wants to know when we're going to talk about Encanto, and I'd like to know that as well.
We don't talk
Seeing
about
as I haven't
Encanto.
Decided if I'm going to watch Peacemaker yet.
We don't talk about Encanto. I don't know. I would like to talk about it. I think there's a
lot
of...
There's been so much stuff that has come out. We're throwing a lot of things at the wall, so
stay tuned. I know that Dion is very, very keen to talk about the Book of Boba Fett sometime soon. Mm. And Elskinorga is like, and everyone agreed to watch The Foreigners. So I don't know whether that was the case. Did everybody agree to that? Is that
I don't know.
I agree to that. We all agreed at the end of last week's talk that when Quinny wasn't involved, that we were going to watch before us.
Okay,
and we pretended it was our idea and not Oscar Norg's idea of many, many suggestions many times over.
Right. I just love that now the chat is entirely a whole bunch of like, I watched this weekend. I watched
awesome.
Which is
I'm glad I didn't go and see Kingsman. Predakanga says it was long.
See, I want to see it because I have very torn emotions about the other Kingsman films.
Mm.
Like, I feel like they're almost really enjoyable films that then shit themselves pretty spectacularly at different points in time. The first
one single woman in this movie.
Kingsman films are dead to me, sorry.
Understandable. And I'm not sure whether or not they use Boney M. Rasputin at any point in time in the movie, and that would be a fucking crime if they have Rasputin in the movie and don't do rah-rah Rasputin.
That remix that came out last year. It's a banger.
Abso-fucking-lutely.
Anyway, let's get the fuck out of here.
Yes. We will. It has been an absolute pleasure chatting with you all. Thank you. And we will talk to you next week.
Next week.
Yay.
Bye, guys. Look out for yourself. I wake up to the sounds of the silence that allows for my mind to run around with my ear up to the ground. I'm searching to behold the stories that I told when my back is to the world that was smiling when I turned.
Thanks for listening to the Periodic Table podcast. If you have comments, feedback, questions, or suggestions, email info@theperiodictableofawesome.com. From our website, you can find our Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook links, as well as ways to donate to the show if you're feeling generous. And of course, you can join in the show live on Tuesday and Friday nights on our Twitch channel. Until next time, stay awesome! And the names that I've been called, I stack it in my mind, and I'm waiting for the time when I show you what it's like to be worse fit in the mind.